Offside.
Leti, leti, leti socializem. V drugem krogu predsedniških volitev v Boliviji je slavil Rodrigo Paz, kandidat krščanske demokratske stranke. Slabimi 55% glasov je prehitel nekdanjega predsednika iz stranke Svoboda in demokracija Jorgeja Quiroga, ki je državo vodil med letoma 2001 in 2002 po odstopu predhodnika Urga Banzerja. Prvi krog volitev je potekal avgusta, a nobenemu izmed kandidatov ni uspelo pridobiti potrebne večine, da bi se izognili drugemu krogu. Takrat sta bila iz boja za pozicijo izključena Eduardo del Castillo, iz takrat še vladajoče stranke Gibanja za socializem, znane tudi pod kratico MAS, in Andronico Rodriguez, iz vrst novo ustanovljene stranke Ljudsko zavezništvo. Za pozicijo predsedniškega kandidata stranke Gibanje za socializem sta že veliko pred volitvami tekmovala trenutni predsednik Luis Arce in tovariš Evo Morales, ki je predsedniški stolček zasedal med letoma 2006 in 2019. Arce se je naknadno umaknil, a ne v prid Moralesu, ki mu je sodelovanje na volitvah že tako prepovedano. Ustavno sodišče je namreč potrdilo ustavno omejitev dveh predsedniških mandatov, kar mu je onemogočilo ponovno kandidaturo. To je sprožilo val protestov junija letos, vse Moralesovi podporniki zavračajo odločitev sodišča. Zapuščino trenutnega predsednika oriše Enrique Castañón Balbián, bolivijski ekonomist in predavatelj na Univerzitetnem koledžu v Londonu.
The current president, Luis Arce, he used to be a minister of Evo Morales. Actually, you could say perhaps the more reliable minister of Morales, the one that was not changed. He was the minister of the economy. And before he became president, he was actually praised and recognized as a very good minister, not least because the economic situation during most of Evo Morales' terms was actually relatively good or better, at least, than the previous years of the 90s. So people recognized that economic growth was happening and there was some important levels of redistribution through cash transfers and other social programs. So he was associated with this boom, with this sort of success. But of course, when he got elected, it was a very radically different situation. Not only the pandemic, but the economy as a whole was in trouble, mainly because the gas exports were reduced dramatically, and that was the main source of income and foreign exchange for the country. So that became a major issue, coupled with the pandemic, inflation started to go up. So nowadays, when you think about the legacy of Luis Arce, I suppose history will probably stay with this last part, that is he as president, and will be judged as somebody that couldn't handle the pandemic and the economic crisis, which is, as I said, a bit of a paradox, because before that he was pretty much considered a very efficient and minister of the economy. And not only in the country, I have to say, he received a lot of recognition from the World Bank, for example, of the United Nations. I think at some point there was this ranking of the best ministers in Latin America, and he was ranked and one of the top of how, because of the way he was managing the economy. But it was obviously a different context. So at that time, the Bolivian economy was booming, mainly with this export of gas, as I was saying, and the prices of commodities were high. So it was radically different context. So people were expecting that, given that he had shown some expertise, he could manage the crisis well. But that has not been the case for economic reasons, but also for political reasons, this sort of internal battle within the MAS that blocked a lot of the policies that he was trying to implement. But just overall, to sum it up, I think the legacy is of a former minister that, when became president, was unable to deal with the crisis, with the economic crisis.
Konec Arcejevega mandata zaznamuje zlasti goreča ekonomska kriza. Nekdaj posebej hitro razvijajoče se gospodarstvo na celini se trenutno spopada z energetsko krizo in inflacijo. V državo se uvozi več kot 90% goriva, kar je približno 40% porast glede na prejšnje desetletje. Poleg energetske odvisnosti se soočajo tudi s primankljajem ameriških dolarjev, s katerimi bi financirali uvoz goriva. Več pojasni sogovornik.
It is a very deep economic crisis. The main factor is that the economy has changed radically. The state is no longer managing the economy as such. It's no longer the main economic actor as it used to be because of these large exports of gas mainly in the past. The gas reserves are down, and during the crisis, the country, the exports reduced massively. And to cope with that and with the impact of COVID-19, the government started to use the international reserves up to a point in which it was dangerous, not sustainable anymore. So because of that, there was inflation going up as well, and the crisis led to a shortage of dollars in the country. Not only because of the problems with generating and this with the gas exports, but also because a lot of the big business in Bolivia were starting to take their dollars outside the country and sort of make some gains with the black market. So it became a very complicated kind of dynamic, but like a recipe for disaster, really. So it was due to inaction from the state, but also private actors. They actively took their dollars abroad, and because of that, this scarce of dollars coupled with less public investment and higher inflation, it was really a deep economic crisis, and the ones who felt it most, unfortunately, were the majority, the popular classes in Bolivia, which in a sense also explains this radical shift, because the majority of Bolivians clearly voted for a change here, and I think that is a reflection of the economic crisis that people were suffering.
Špekulira sogovornik, so težke življenjske razmere ljudi vplivale na izid volitev, ki so pokazale opazno zmanjšanje podpore stranki Gibanja za socializem. Na splošnih volitvah avgusta sta stranki pripadla zgolj 2 sedeža v parlamentu od skupnih 130. Gre za izrazit upad v primerjavi s 75 sedeži, ki so jih zasedali minulih 5 let. Njihov letošnji predsedniški kandidat, Eduardo del Castillo, je prejel manj kot 200.000 glasov, z razliko od Luisa Arceja, ki je dominiral na prejšnjih volitvah z zmagovitimi 3 milijoni glasov. Castañón Balivian razloži, kaj je vplivalo na tako očitno spremembo naklonjenosti volivcev.
Certainly, I think the economic crisis is a major factor here, but we should also say that politically the project that the mass was offering the country appears to be over. So in a sense, Luis Arce, the current president, didn't have much of an agenda to offer. It was more about defending what was gained before. So there was not like a forward-looking kind of political project that people could identify with. The other thing is that the political subject in the country has also changed. And when Evo Morales came to power, there was important strength from indigenous and peasant movements. But nowadays, lots of people have moved to the cities, so the new political subject appears to be the sons of these peasants and indigenous people that are mostly urban and have a different kind of concerns. In a way, we could say that with social media and the rest of it, some narratives that are kind of very influential globally now, that are, of course, as we know, a bit more right-wing kind of ideology, have also started to be present in these sectors of young popular people. So it is also this political crisis that affected the outcome of this election. With regards to Evo Morales undoubtedly will have a very important role in the history of the country. In the last years, though, it seems he lost touch with reality, with insisting to run for president when it was clear that although he still remains relevant and still has important support, it was also very clear that he couldn't win the election. At most, he would get 20-30% at most. So in a sense, Evo Morales' insistence to be the candidate and the internal war, because that's the proper word. It was very nasty. The internal struggle within the MAS led to people to feel even less happy with how things were run. So it's not only the economic crisis, but it was also clear that politically, the MAS was much more focused on fighting each other than actually presenting a political project for the country.
Nestrinjenja znotraj gibanja za socializem so tako vzpostavila plodna tla za vzpon stranke novoizvoljenega predsednika Rodriga Paza, ki je predvolilno kampanjo vodil posebej premišljeno. Več sogovornik.
PDC, who's going to be the president, and now Rodrigo Paz Pereira, he's the son of a former president, whose name is Jaime Paz Zamora. He was also part of the political elite of the 1990s. Although he had a more sort of left-wing past, in practice, Paz Zamora became an ally of neoliberal governments. So it's not that different. Rodrigo Paz Pereira also belongs to the traditional political elite. But he did something very clever. He chose as vice president this Edmund Lara, who was a former policeman and a lawyer, who became famous in social media because he denounced a case of corruption within the police. And this person, he clearly has a popular background. So he's somebody that comes from the lower classes in society and can speak to lots of people in Bolivia. So that was a very strategic thing to do. And it is because of Edmund Lara that Rodrigo became popular throughout the country. And then in this second round, the strategy of PDC, unlike Libre, was not to polarize with the MAS, but was actually going and spending a lot of time visiting different places in rural areas, in peri-urban places. So Rodrigo did that, and I think that was a key for the success in this second round.
Kot omenjeno, se je Paz v drugem krogu pomeril s Jorgejem Quiroga iz stranke Svoboda in demokracija. Sogovornik pojasnjuje, da oba izhajata iz strank desnega pola, ki na trenutne težave ponujata podobne rešitve.
It's accurate to say that the economic project is very similar. PDC, the party that actually won the ballot now the round, it's a bit more sort of not so open neoliberal kind of adjustment, whereas Libre was pretty much arguing for a structural adjustment very similar to what we had in the 90s. So the economic program is certainly similar. There's going to be austerity, and we have to say both options, more explicit, Libre, but also PDC, they are arguing that or they are envisaging a crisis that is going to be paid by the lowering classes in Bolivia. So the popular sectors are going to be paying for this crisis. That said, when we're thinking about differences between the two, well, Libre and its candidate, Jorge Tuto Quiroga, he pretty much belongs and represents the traditional political elite in the country. He was a vice president of neoliberal president and former dictator Hugo Banzer Suarez. And his agenda was pretty much very similar to what he himself had proposed in the past. And Libre also made what I think was a very, very big mistake, made this second round about those that are against MAS and those who are similar to MAS. So their strategy was to try to portray PDC as really MAS sympathizers. And by doing that, they mobilized some racist kind of tropes that at the end, I think it backfired. When I was looking at the numbers, it seems to me that some of the support or an important part of the support of Evo Morales that in the first round went to null votes have been moved to PDC. Those people that to some extent still identify as masistas, as part of what MAS represented, ended up voting for the other option because of this sort of racist strategy by Libre.
Bivši voljivci stranke Gibanja za socializem so torej svojo podporo namenili Pazu, ki je kampanjo vodil s sloganom Kapitalizem za vse, ne le za peščico. Kaj to pomeni za prihodnost bolivijskega gospodarstva, pojasni sogovornik.
In terms of the economy, and clearly what he intends to do is to conduct a structural adjustment, one though that is appears to be mostly based on getting some credits that were already being considered by the current government and not a major loan from the IMF, which was Tuto Quiroga's strategy. He was very open about it, that he would go to the IMF and ask for a lot of money. In contrast, Rodrigo was saying that that was not going to be his first priority or his first option, but rather to get more credits bilaterally with other countries and then conduct a lot of cuts in social provision and in the state more broadly as a way to balance in the books. Interesting that last night when he was celebrating, he said that Bolivia will be back to geopolitics. And by that, he meant that Bolivia will be aligned once again with the U.S. government. I know that he and both candidates traveled to the U.S. to sort of try to have better relationship with the Trump administration. So that is going to be a big shift as well. And as I said, it was a bit of a paradox saying that Bolivia will be back to geopolitics, because arguably it was with the MAS and Evo Morales that Bolivia became relevant internationally, more so than ever before, I would argue, within the United Nations and elsewhere. But of course, what he meant is that the alliances will shift towards the U.S.
Poleg pajdašenja s trenutno vlado Združenih držav Amerike pod vodstvom Donalda Trumpa, ima PAS v načrtu še par problematičnih potez.
Economically, it's going to be a difficult period. He also plans to lift the subsidy of the gasoline and diesel in the country. That is a major subsidy. We're talking about 70%. It is subsidized. So if that is lifted, then of course we can expect that a high increase on prices across the board. And that is going to be a very difficult measure. I'm not sure how efficient they will do that, not least because it seems they have not contemplated mechanisms to make sure that the poorest would be able to navigate that radical measure. So unfortunately, there is uncertainty ahead, but politically, once this is over, the second round, I think it's likely that PDC and Libre will get an agreement and will support each other in parliament. And there are other forces from the right that like Doria Medina, a businessman who has important representation in the parliament given his result in the first round. So with all those kind of right-wing inclination parties, there should be enough votes in parliament to get laws passed and have governance. It is on the streets that I'm not sure the government will be able to cope with unrest if it comes to that.
Potem, ko bo Rodrigo Paz uradno zaprisegel 8. novembra, bo sledilo eksperimentiranje z namenom navidezne kapitalistične prenove Bolivije. Ta proces bodo najbolj čutili državljani, ki so z zasukom na volitvah na volilnih tleh slavili na boljšo prihodnost. A obstaja jasno, da bo ta predvsem drugačna in ne pretirano svetlejša. Offset je pripravila Iman.